There are many shades of green when it comes to the environment and energy. Dark green tends towards a clean environment based on renewables, solar, wind, and biomass energy, whereas a shade that is light green tends towards a polluted environment using fossil fuels and other non-renewable energy sources. What shade of green are you? Welcome to Shades of Green Energy here on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. You're listening to Shades of Green here at KOOP. And Deborah, why don't you get right to our guest and
okay.
Get the discussion going. I think it's going to be exciting.
Absolutely. I'd like to introduce to our listeners Wayne Janson, president of Soluna Builders. And I may say that wrong. Soluna Builders. Wayne is a member of Austin Energy Green Building Program, and he has built three homes that have achieved the highest green rating of 5 stars. He is also a certified green professional. I want to know what that is. He's also a graduate master builder and a member of the Home Builders Association of Greater Austin, the Texas Association of Builders, and the National Association of Home Builders. So he's very official. Welcome, Wayne.
And active.
I try.
Yeah, so what is a certified green professional?
A certified green professional is a designation that is earned through the National Home Builders Association. They have a ranking that's about 3 or 4 years old now to be able to rate green homes through the nation. And so it allows me to also do not only the Austin Energy Green Building Rating System here locally, but I can rate homes anywhere in the nation using that program.
Very interesting. Okay. I wonder, maybe I have to learn how to be to build in order to be certified green.
Yeah. Well, do you take a test and go through a training procedure?
Oh, it's a couple days of training, and you've got to bring in some experience. It also is a business management class that goes with it and prove that you have been working in the industry for a while.
Nice.
I did that in conjunction with my graduate master builder rating that I just received this year.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Well, I guess we want to know a little bit more background. You're interesting as far as your endeavors in other areas, even besides the green building. And I did notice that one of your, I guess we'll call it a mentor or somebody you started out with, which was Richard Halpin over at the American Youth House.
Yeah, what a great program, American Youth Works, and Richard for founding that agency and getting it all started. Yeah, I ran the green building program there for about 3 years, and that's what really got me started in the green building program here. In fact, Richard Morgan, who is the head of the Austin Energy Green Building Program, used to run the green building program with American Youth Works.
Oh,
so it was a really tight
kinship
there. And there was a lot of chance in the early stages with both the city and the Casa Verde Builder Program through American Youth Works. There was a lot of research and development going on. So we had a fantastic opportunity to be able to experiment with a lot of different products and building techniques and opportunities out there.
And you had the work input from the students.
We did. We had work input from the students, and we also, everybody felt pretty good about being able to satisfy some of the needs for affordable housing here in Austin.
Yeah, well, were you thinking of changing your name to Richard with Richard Morgan, Richard Halpin, and then there's Wayne, huh?
Yeah, right. So.
Well, that's great. So you've started your own business, it sounds like, that you've
Correct.
Gone off and called Soluna. So mm-hmm. What made you take that leap and be so bold to go out on your own?
Wow.
Well, the things changed where they were. We had actually started doing really well with the green building program with American Youth Works, and the program kind of became a victim of its own success because – since we were making a profit with the homes, we were no longer able to get the federal grant that was needed to be able to continue with the building.
Hmm.
So they actually discontinued the program, and that gave me the opportunity to step out and start my own business 8 years ago. And so what I did is I took a lot of the information that I had gained and all the experience that I had taken, combined that with my previous construction experience, and just set about the path of that we're going to do this green.
Hmm. Yeah. So you were actually teaching there and organizing the program. So is it likely that some of your students could follow in your tracks? And
In fact, there was a whole crew of people that we would have kids that had gone through 2 years with Casa Verde Builders that we would hire into the green building program. And then when they closed the program down, I actually employed the whole crew for about 5 years, worked with me to get the start with Soluna Builders, and they've gone on to various projects since then.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And you mentioned Casa Verde. Tell us a little bit about that. We've had, I know Gail Borst is fairly involved in that, and tell our listeners a little bit about what
Casa Verde is a great program. It's sponsored by AmeriCorps. It's a training program that teaches at-risk youth through the charter school program at American Youth Works how to build homes. And they're out there side-by-side building with Habitat for Humanity and some of the other builders in areas that need better and more affordable housing. And they're also very succinct in building green homes so that they are sustainable and affordable and easy to maintain for the people that are moving into it. It's a wonderful program.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was curious how many you try to make the houses as green as you can, obviously. How many of them actually received a solar system or some kind of renewable energy product in addition?
The ones that I build or the ones that
Casa Verde.
Casa Verde. I can't keep up with the numbers right now. I'm not sure what they're doing right now, but I do remember one of the first houses that we had a manufacturer approach us about wanting to put solar panels on it, and we did figure out a way to do it, and we actually had the first house on the east side that we were able to show the meter running backwards on it because we were actually putting nice. Electricity on the grid instead of taking it away from it.
Yeah, I remember that project. So I guess all the more reason that we need to get Gail Borst back in
Absolutely.
To tell us about the
great designs over there we built for hers.
Yeah, that's great.
So I've heard about net zero homes. Can you tell me, how do you determine if a home is net zero?
Well, a true definition of a net zero home is to show that in 1 year's time that it has produced the same amount of energy that it uses.
Uh-huh.
So that means that your electric bill should be zero. You can either have a net zero electric home or you can have a net zero water home. That would also mean that all of the rainwater collection system that you're using is also giving you all your potable water that you need.
Hmm. So technically your footprint is zero because you're consuming and producing at the same rate.
That's correct. The problem with that is this is measured over 1 year time. The two things that I can't control when I build a home is the climate and the weather conditions that home is going to be in for a year, and then also the people that are living in the home.
Well, I'm bummed. You can't control the weather yet?
No, not yet.
I thought you said that that was in your resume, that you control the weather.
Oh, they're
here
still
in Austin.
Sending that one out?
Good.
No, that's true. So it is highly dependent on the habitants in the house, how they use the energy.
Absolutely.
And it's basically about equipping the home to make that possible.
Correct. I can do everything I can to give them the proper equipment and the proper techniques and all the material to build a good tight sealed thermal envelope. But if someone decides that they want to run the air conditioner at sub-zero degrees, I can't really control that.
Yeah. Well, one of the cool things about the most recent, I hope it's the most recent, I'm thinking it's the most recent home that you built, it has a homeowner who has installed a weather system, and he's documenting his energy use and the weather. So he is actually, and he's blogging about it, and he's talking about what his bills are, and, you know, anyhow.
An energy diary.
It is.
Maybe that's the guy I was confused with that's controlling the weather.
And that's the guy.
he's just reading the weather.
Right.
Okay.
It's pretty exciting to see on his blog that he's got electric bills that are less than $3 a month.
Yeah.
It's not quite net zero, but that's pretty close.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you actually, with the city of Austin, you can never really get to zero if you're going to be on the system because there's a fixed charge, that the meter charge that always is going to be there. And
is that $3?
I was just going to say, if
it's
$3, his December bill was $3.54. And big problem, February was only $2.94.
Well, can't be three then, unless that's a separate number.
And actually, depending on the circumstances, they do pay you for any excess that you've generated to the system, if you net it out at the end of the month. So maybe they got some small fee for the energy that they generate. If you net to the grid, it's a small payment, but they do pay you for that extra electricity. But you're absolutely right. We used to do energy audits for people and then come back and do the upgrades to the house. And a lot of people have the psychology, well, then that's great. I've reduced my consumption. I'm going to crank down my air conditioner. I'm going to turn up my heat to balance it out. You know, I've
saved. The sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Well, the great thing about having this individual who is blogging about all this information and actually tracking what the weather is doing on a particular situation and looking and seeing like how many loads of clothes they did that day because that's causing a spike in the system, and he's got his own metering system because of the solar panels that are on the house. It's almost like giving the guinea pigs the keys to the cage. because mm-hmm. they're kind of controlling their own environment at that point. So if he sees spikes in his energy use, he'll know exactly why that's happening. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of an unscientific way of us to be able to look at the information and go, okay, what do we need to do to either better it, a little more training, a little more evaluation, you know, what do we need to do in the future?
Yeah. And I think, and I'm guessing, and maybe you have a better answer, is that most of the clients that you have are predisposed to thinking about the energy. They're not, they don't want it just in the background. Most people, I guess I would hate to admit, just want to pay their electric bill and not worry about it. Yours are a lot more in tune to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to the whole, not just the whole environmental issues, but also saving energy in all ways that are possible, looking at sustainability and renewable energy sources.
Yeah.
It seems like, having the information available and having all the data coming to them is a way to empower them to think about it more and get them more in the mode of not just flipping the AC lower or the heat higher.
Yeah. Well, I was at a conference, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, at the University of Texas, and it was for the Smart Grid program that they're initiating with graduate students there. And there was a guy that said, he was talking to a utility, and the utility said, if you think about the way we buy electricity, it's all wrong. If you went into the grocery store and you just picked out all your items, went to the checkout, and then you didn't pay. You just walked out of the grocery store. And then next week you go back, and then at the end of the month they send you a bill.
Right.
And they say, here's how much you paid for your groceries. That's exactly the way we're doing electricity now. So the more you put emphasis on how much you're using at the time and give a person a meter, then they're more in tune with it, and they can make adjustments and purchases that way.
So, that's a great analogy.
And I was blown away. I said, wow, that's so true. So I think there's going to be a lot of changes,
especially
with this smart grid and smart metering program, where people will be more in tune with what their energy consumption is, and the utilities are going to have to give some kind of incentives that you pay more during the day, during those peak periods, and less at night. But there will always be the people that, I don't want to mess with that. I'm not an energy geek, which we maybe tend to be here on the show.
Well, you know, my grandparents came from an island in the Caribbean, and they used to have the electric people coming out to their house all the time because they kept wondering. They actually thought they were fiddling with the meter,
right.
And because they used so little energy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they just, you know, they put their clothes out on the line. They just, you know, they didn't take long showers because they were used to having to really conserve how much water they used because it was a very drought-prone island. It was kind of interesting. You know, I want to ask you a question. Mother Earth News wrote an article about your home. And so I saw that their headline was a super green but normal suburban house. So what's super green and normal?
Well, the house we're talking about is a house we just built last year up in suburban Round Rock. It's right in a suburban neighborhood. And our challenge was to make it as normal looking as possible so that it fit in within the rest of the neighborhood. And because a lot of people think that green has to be a modern cubist type look or something really different with very strange alternative materials and things. And what I'm trying to do is bring what we used to call extreme green building into mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to show people that you can have a 5-star green-rated home, and by 5-star I'm talking about the rating system we use through the Austin Energy Green Building. And we actually, this is the first house that's been rated. We hope not the only house to ever be rated in Round Rock. We hope this is the start of something really good up there. But it not only received a 5-star rating, but it exceeded the point system that we needed on 5-star because it was real easy because we had very dedicated clients that were thinking long-term and they wanted to be able to control what their energy uses and their sustainability was going to be, thinking way long into the future. And with that in mind, it was real easy to then go ahead and exceed that and do a super green home because they knew that, hey, if they could get this down to zero or under $3 for an electric bill,
nice.
Pretty good deal.
Yep.
Yeah, well, good.
They need a 6-star soon.
Well, we're talking with Wayne Chazon from, I know I butchered it again, but Soluna Builders here on Shades of Green Energy. John Hoffner, your host, with Reed Sternberg and Deborah Dubé. We have a couple messages and we'll be back, so don't go away. We have more to talk to you about green building in Austin. you're back here. We're back.
Yep.
At Shades of Green Energy at KOOP 91.7 on your FM dial and coming at you on the web at koop.org. And I forgot to mention that you can listen to our podcasts post our show, any of our old shows or most of them. We don't go way back. At shadesofgreenenergy.org or shadesofgreenenergy.com is where you can download the podcast or listen to them immediately. Or Deborah has set us up now where they are on iTunes. So you can go to iTunes and download them as well.
And you can actually subscribe to them so that you can get them in your email.
All right.
Yep. So we're back here with Wayne Johnson from Soluna Builders.
Sun Moon in Spanish.
Okay. Soluna Builders. And I wanted to ask you your website, so we're sure that we know that.
It's solunabuilders.com. That's SOLLUNABUILDERS.com.
So if you remember the sun and the moon, you'll get there.
That's right.
Okay. And I want to ask you if you will send us a picture of that house.
Absolutely.
What kind of house? Yeah. What kind of style is the house?
It's a Craftsman style house. It was designed by Deborah Blessman with, I've been working with a designer for quite a while. And it was a Craftsman style house so that we could fit in with the rest of the neighborhood there.
I love Craftsman.
But then a lot of the upgrades that we've got a metal roof on it. We've got the solar panels, geothermal heating and cooling energy system, hardy plank siding. We used the new zip system exterior sheeting for it.
So that's the one in Dripping Springs?
No, this is the one in Round Rock.
Oh, okay. Not the one that's, I guess, prominent on your website, but this is another one in Round Rock, and mm-hmm. I did see that one. So does it have a metal roof?
It does.
So is that compliant and fit in with the rest of the neighborhood?
It does, because actually the homeowners went around and asked all the people that were in the local homeowners association if that was okay. And the response was overwhelmingly yes, please.
Whoa,
that's
really
refreshing.
Yes, because we've been trying to get a guy on the show from West Austin that put in a house with a metal roof, and the homeowners association is forcing him to take it down or change it because one client or one person in the neighborhood said, I can see that roof from my house. And they've even done a visual check to see if they can, and you really can't see it. So that is exciting because, of course, a metal roof saves an incredible amount of energy.
Oh, it's the most reflective material we can put on a roof.
Yes, that's right. And now does this one in Round Rock have solar on it?
Yes, it does.
So you've attached those to the standing seam roof and
correct.
Used the standoffs. And well, that's great. So compared to a, let's say, non-green building home, what would you say? I mean, I don't know if you can quote the energy savings or, you know, how much can somebody expect if you didn't put any of the energy features in your house? Percentage-wise, what's the reduction?
Well, Karen, the owner of the house, has been very active in talking to the neighbors, and just to kind of get an idea to be able to compare her bill, which is right now under $5 a month for electricity, compared to the other suburban houses that are right around the neighborhood. During the summer, those homes are spending $200 to $300 and up for electricity.
Yeah.
So if I can reduce the energy bill from that to pretty close to zero,
almost 90. Yeah. Is this one of your net zero homes?
Well, I don't want to make that claim yet until
the
end of the year. That's kind of the issue and the tricky thing. It's always a learning process. I do like to stay ahead of the curve and try to use new exciting techniques and materials out there, but we've got to test these things and make sure they're working. And so far, every month when she gets her bill, there's the payoff.
Yeah, that's great.
So you're one of 16 houses on this Cool House Tour. What is the date the Cool House Tour is coming up?
June 5th.
June 5th. That's a
Sunday afternoons,
Sunday.
All day. Well, not all day. I think it starts at 10 in the morning, and you can get information about that at the Texas Solar Society.
Right.
And it's also co-sponsored by Austin Energy Green Building.
Exactly.
Right. So that website is TXSES.org for the Texas Solar Energy Society about the Cool Tour. And I don't know, this is maybe their, 15th year. They've been doing this for quite a while, and it keeps growing every year. Mm-hmm. So you're featuring the Round Rock House?
That's correct.
Okay, so people will have to drive a little bit to get to that from Austin. But
unless you live in Georgetown or Round Rock already and you're interested in seeing this, you won't have to drive into Austin.
That's a good way to look at it.
That's why we're hoping that people up north will finally have an opportunity to be able to come and look at this particular home.
Yeah.
And so any day, very, very shortly now, the guide for the Cool House Tour will be up on the Texas website. That's TXS. SES.org. And you want to go there and take a peek at, or you can go there and take a peek at what's coming up, which is kind of fun. It's nice to have a preview.
Yeah. Well, what's actually coming up is Food Love Austin in about 2 minutes. So we've got to make room for that. So, Wayne, if somebody wants to find a little bit more information about green building in general, and then maybe more specifically about your homes, what would you suggest they do, or where on the web can they get more information?
Well, first place to start, I think, you know, would be my website, because we try to have a lot of information on there about green building and links to other areas and things that are going on here in Central Texas. One of the important things about green building is designing and building for the environment that you're living in right around here. Austin Energy Green Building has a great program, especially with their Green by Design seminars that they put out. They've got a lot of information out there. And, of course, Googling it will turn up millions of hits.
And you were once again at what website?
SolunaBuilders.com. S-O-L-L-U-N-A, Builders with an S.com.
All right. Wayne, thank you for being with us today.
Appreciate it. Very enjoyed it.
I'm going to ask you one more question.
Oh,
we've got one more minute left. If somebody is interested in becoming a green builder, what would you suggest? Say you're in junior high school or in high school and you've got a passion for green, what would you say their path should be as well?
Take a lot of business classes.
Business,
still running a business and stuff. And the great thing about being in a green business is that it is still an entrepreneurial market, and it's great for somebody who's a self-starter that wants to run their own business, and there's a lot of opportunities ahead, a lot of availability there.
Yeah, and as we mentioned in the beginning of the show with Richard Halpin, American Youth Works, and they're still running their green program with Casa Verde. And I don't know the website for Casa Verde, but that's another place to maybe go get information.
AmericanYouthWorks.org.
It's under that under that website.
They've got links under there.
Great. Okay, well, you've been with us for this half hour at Shades of Green Energy at KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. John Hoffner, your host, with Reed Sternberg and Deborah Dubay. And next week, I guess we'll be getting ready for Earth Day.
That's right. Upcoming Wednesday, April 20th, folks, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Triangle.
Right. And then, of course, Shades of Green the next day at 1 p.m. Come back next week.
You have been listening to Shades of Green Energy, recorded live at KOOP 91.7 in Austin, Texas. The soundtrack is Why Not by Peter Sharp. More music by this artist is available at creativecommons.org.